with Dr. Pam Peek.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and this is episode 538. Phew, a little sweat on my brow. This is the Bold and the Brave Her podcast. Now, today I'm joined by an expert in the field of, oh no, my biological clock. What's going on? I'm panicking. What am I going to do? So who is this wonderful person? This is Dr. Lori Husband, who is a clinical psychologist with over 16 years of experience and the founder of a relationship-focused psychotherapy practice. Now, she specializes in helping women navigate relationships and dating. Good luck with that. Just kidding. Just saying. I'm just sort of throwing it out there. In addition to her therapy practice, she recently launched a new course. Now, listen up. Should I freeze my eggs or download Tinder? Those are the two choices, all right? And this is designed for women in their 30s who are dating on a fertility deadline and want to make empowered choices. So moms out there who have 30-year-old daughter, listen up. 30-year-olds, listen up. Everyone needs to understand what we can do with this. And I read some really great things that you had stated. I believe it was in the Wall Street Journal or New York Times, one of those two. It was New York Times. There it was. And so, Lori, welcome to the Her podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Peek. What a wonderful introduction.
All right. Yeah, so what can I say? Nowadays, young women are delaying having children for what reasons? What's going on, Lori?
Right. Well, for various reasons. Often it's actually because they haven't found a suitable partner. That is one thing I learned when I was doing research for my course, is it's not because women are pursuing careers and not wanting to be a mother. It's really because dating is so challenging right now.
Why?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a million-dollar question. Gosh, there's a host of reasons. I mean, one of the things we know is, of course, the dating apps have their issues. They're kind of gamifying dating, and that leads us to have a consumer mentality where we're shopping and we're kind of looking for the better deal, and that causes people to not settle down and keep shopping. But for women in particular, what we're seeing is that there are not as many male partners. This is for heteronormative relationships. There are not as many suitable male partners, and meaning there are more educated women. They are buying homes earlier than men. They're more financially stable, and so they're not able to find as many suitable partners. And so those men who are very stable and accomplished are, you know, in very high demand.
I am so glad I grew up when I did. That's the only thing I can tell you. Well, the other thing too is that who's actually seeing each other in person?
Right.
You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like that's weird to me. It's like, I understand why it's all transition to this, but I just, wow, there's something about bumping into someone and just kind of getting to know one another, and, you know, you're seeing each other eye to eye.
Right.
You know, there's so much you miss by just looking at an app or
swiping,
you know, getting a text or playing a game or any of those things. My heart sinks for so many women who are really trying to find someone. I don't know. What do you tell women?
Well, I'd validate them just like you did, that it's really tough. And yeah, I think more people are wanting to get off the app. So I tell women that this is a time to take some power back. And that may mean that you take a break from the apps, or you try something different and try to meet people in person, or you just build a very full life, you know, with friends and activities, and you don't make dating kind of the biggest part of your life.
The thing that I have always found that's worked, and it certainly worked for me, was look at your own interests and then go to those places. So you like pickleball? Come on down, you know, right. Bring your paddle, you know, get your ball, you know, and let's go down to the courts and let's see who shows up. If you're a gym rat, I mean, there's plenty of guys there, that's for sure. Some are a little scary, but, you know, you can certainly find some folk. If you happen to be a culture-aholic, what about going to some museum-type cultural activities and fun things? I remember when I was in Washington doing my training, they had the Smithsonian itself, you know, the big museum network up there, you know, had all of these, as it were, singles activities in the museums.
Yeah.
And they would have really cool stuff, you know, nothing like, you know, stuffy or weird or whatever. I thought that was such a great way to be able to meet people who are like-minded. I just think like-mindedness is so important.
I love that. So we need to bring that back. If it's Yeah.
Bring it back, man.
Yeah. I love that. Museum date sounds so fun. Yes. Like-mindedness. And I will tell clients you need to go where you think your partner would hang out. So if it's on the golf course, if it's traveling, if it's in a museum, yeah, you need to go there and make yourself available to meet them.
One of my medical colleagues met her husband of now a million years playing golf, you know, and she really had no idea that something like this actually worked, you know, one way or the other. Now, there's a phenomenon and it's about a panic, what?
Panic partnership.
Now, tell us what a panic partnership is.
Yes. So I talk about this. So this is something that happened to me and I see it happen with many friends and clients. So a panic partnership is when you feel like your time is running out, the biological clock is ticking, and so you just settle down with the next person you meet, you know, in dating. So for me, I can share what happened to me. I got my PhD, which is a very long road of school and postdoc, and I really put dating on the back burner. And then by around age 38, I woke up and I was like, crap, I am out of time. I want to be a mom. And so instead of looking into egg freezing, just decided I'm going to go really all in on dating. And then the next person I met, he's going to be the one. Which is not a good way to approach selecting a partner, husband, or father of your children. So you can end up kind of mentally bargaining and overlooking things that, you know, might be red flags. So yeah, I see a lot of women do this, and I would want women to avoid this because it creates so much pain.
Mm-hmm. Because you're with the wrong person for the wrong reason.
Right.
You know, and, you know, there it is. But how do you prevent a panic partnership?
Yeah.
How do you prevent that?
I think the first step is just naming the situation you're in, acknowledging it, saying, okay, I'm feeling time scarcity right now. I really want something, and name what it is. If it's partnership, then maybe there's more time on that. If it's you want to be a mother or parent, then you've got to think about, okay, what can I do that is an empowered choice and not out of desperation? So maybe that means you start to read about egg freezing, or you start to think about, would I be open to adoption or single motherhood by choice, so that you can, and maybe have a talk with a therapist or a coach to explore, okay, what are my values related to this and what can I do about it so that I don't feel like I'm just desperate and picking someone out of desperation.
Do you think there's more and more desperation now?
Yeah, probably. In some ways, that is because we are delaying the age of marriage. So we're dating for a much longer period of time. And I don't think many people know the biological realities. I didn't realize that fertility has such a steep cliff at age 37. That's one reason that people may be getting kind of desperate. But yeah, it's kind of bleak out there in the dating world.
Yeah. Too. Okay, we're going to have to get positive here. Yeah. This is getting nuts. But, you know, it's just different now. I met my husband, doing something that I love, which is athletics. You know, we both share that and share, you know, a very healthy living style. I didn't have to force it on him or whatever. And you know, there was plenty of time to be able to nurture that relationship, you know, as it were. But I had to also wedge it in there with a truckload of training. So I shared with you a particular article that was all about doctors. And there are certain professions like being a physician that really, really sets up some very tough challenges. Because I remember somebody that I was fairly close with had actually asked me to marry him early on in my medical career. And I said, no, I will not drag someone through this. Right. If you're around by the end of this thing, yes. But I have to spend 24/7 because that's the nature of the beast. I knew what I was signing up for and it was fine. In this article that came out on Medscape, it talked about the social clock,
right,
which I thought was a really interesting concept, which is culturally ingrained ideals for achieving certain life milestones by certain ages. The good news is you may be doing really well professionally and, you know, all these things, but you've delayed everything else. And that's kind of very difficult. What do you think of this concept of the social clock?
Oh, yes. I read that article last night and I could relate to it quite a bit. Also, I had a similar length of training. And yeah, the social clock is the idea that society and family have expectations for when you should meet certain milestones, like buy a home or get married or have a baby. And you can't do all those things in the same order when you pursue something like medicine. You made a decision to delay it and you were okay with that. But yes, there is a cost to it. And one of the costs of choosing such a path is that you may feel left behind from your peers, and you're also working against that biological clock.
Well, there's one other thing that also happens that sort of enables this. You hang around with people who believe the same thing.
Oh, yes. I fell into that.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you? What do you mean by that?
So I remember in my 30s, I was dating someone in grad school, and I had the choice. We match in a similar way to med school, where you have to match and you have to go to a different city to do your internship and your postdoc. And I was just so caught up in the prestige of it. Like, you've got to get the best, you know, internship and the best postdoc because that's everything. And instead of thinking, well, what if I just picked an okay training program that's at home? And so that relationship ultimately ended because I moved for training. So yeah, you buy into that because everybody is talking about it. That's the most important thing is your training. And it may not be. And maybe you have other values.
Well, see, that's the thing. Who helps people sort all this through? So how do you do this? What curriculum do you actually offer with this new training and coaching? Yeah. So explain what you do.
Right. So one of the first things I would do is we'll talk about these challenges and naming things like a panic partnership and the scarcity mindset. But then just like they talked about in this article, we would do a values clarification where we talk about what are values and how do we discern what your personal values are related to family, related to health, related to career, that are not what someone else gave you. And this is something we all have to go through in our 20s and 30s. We have to shed the things that we've been taught about what our values should be. Because especially if you're in school, you may not have time to examine that and question it. So we do this values clarification exercise and ask, whose value is this? Like, do you want to be a mom because you're taught that's what you're supposed to do? Or is this extremely important to you? Is this in your heart and your soul? You want this. And does it have to be, you'd have to be a biological mom? Could you be a stepmom? Could you be an adoptive mom? And so we would explore all those things. And same thing with what kind of partnership do you want? Do you want one with traditional gender roles? Are you okay with maybe a non-traditional kind of gender role where you're the primary earner and have a stay-at-home dad? So that's part of the process. The other thing I take people through is sort of a imagine your future self looking back. So imagine yourself in 5 years from now, if you are not married or partnered or you're not a parent, how will you feel? And imagine how you'd feel if you froze your eggs in 5 years. Imagine yourself at 75 looking back and saying, okay, I didn't get married. How would that feel? I didn't become a parent. That's part of the process.
Excellent. And when we come back, I've got a really special question to ask Dr. Lori Husband. The Her Podcast is sponsored by Solaray Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs, all rooted in nature. In addition to women's multivitamins, Solaray, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y, is presenting the new Her Life Stages products, providing support for the menstrual years, including PMS, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause, and even libido. This integrative holistic approach has a woman's back throughout her entire life journey. To learn more about Her Life Stages, you've got options. You can run on over to your local health food store or check it out at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Amazon, or scroll over to Solaray.com and use promo code HER20 for 20% off your purchase. Women, Solaray's got your back. And we're back. All right. So I completely understand everything that you've said. No question about it. What's interesting is that so many women are perched on the launch pad of making a bad decision because of desperation. No right. question about it. They don't really have anyone to guide them. Who guides them?
Right.
You've got people who guide you in your career. You may have mentors in business and whatever, but who's helping you think all of this through one way or the other? There's really not much of anyone out there to help you pick all this apart and understand what your priorities are.
Right.
So when you're asking someone to think about themselves when they're 75, what are they actually envisioning at the age of 75? Like, why does that make a difference? Why do you ask that question?
It's just a way to get perspective and also to think about our future self. I'm really looking for what would you have the most regret about? So if you never married, maybe that would be fine. Or if you had an opportunity to freeze your eggs and you didn't, would you feel regret later in life? And so it's just a way to play with perspective shifting. And sometimes we do that for all kinds of issues to get at, okay, what's most important? Sometimes do the eulogy exercise where you imagine that people are at your funeral and they're talking about you. What would you want them to say? So it's a way to focus in and hone in on what is most important.
You know, one of the other trends I'm seeing is that Gen Z is less and less likely to marry. They're right. just sort of doing partnering
right.
or whatever. And that seems to be an okay thing. And their whole lives are very different. And this is also Gen Alpha, who have come after Gen Z. They're facing a world that currently economically is quite challenging for young people, that all these social milestones and the social clock, like, you know, checking a box, get a house, get a, you know, all of this stuff, it's sort of irrelevant. They're just, what I see is a lot of people kind of just riffing on this and muddling through and kind of coming up with what really works best for them. So I think that, you know, this whole issue of, you know, got to get married and, you know, all the rest of it, I don't know. I mean, right. what kind of people are coming to you asking for help? What do you see as a common thread among the grand majority of these women?
Yeah, most of the women that come to me are women who are highly ambitious, have had success in their career and education, highly educated, have a full life, have the friends. I mean, everything's sort of in place except dating and partnership and maybe parenthood. So it's sort of like they did all the things that society says, like go to college, get the job, get the house. And then it's like, okay, but now what? I've done those things. And, what we know is that what tends to provide the most meaning to people is relationships, healthy relationships, partnership, and purpose.
It's interesting that women now, tend to go out and do their thing. They're getting highly educated generally, and they're also finding an excellent source of income. They're getting financially stable. There was a time in life when all of that was not happening.
Right.
And it was more of a, it leaned more into the guys doing so much of this and the women basically starting a family and the whole thing. What a shift we're living through right now. And you and I are seeing this all day long. When it comes to this issue of regret, I don't think people are really looking at their future self very much.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're doing that. I mean, what kind of experience have you had when people are trying to envision themselves at whatever, 75, as you said?
Yeah. I don't think we do naturally. I think one thing they mentioned in the article is they talk about this idea of, well, when I finish training, then I'll live my life, right? And that's like the arrival fallacy, that everything will happen when I get there. And we know that's actually a fallacy. That's not true. Life is happening now. So yeah, that is some of the challenge. I think the other thing you mentioned is that marriage is changing. Gender roles are changing. So I think it's great that young people are trying to redefine it, but it's a painful process as we figure out, okay, how do men and women have a healthy partnership where they both feel useful? Where, one of my concerns is that, for men, they're struggling with, where do I fit in this equation? If she's highly successful and she doesn't need me financially, what do I bring to the table?
And what do you say to that?
Yeah, oh gosh. I think we're still figuring that out. I wish I had an answer. I don't know that. I think this generation hasn't quite figured out how that's going to look, although maybe it just means that we, from a place of equality, say, okay, here's what I would like to do. Here's what my values are. Maybe I would like to go into a big career, or maybe I would like to stay home. It doesn't matter if you're male or female, that you can negotiate it together.
I also think that things aren't written in cement anymore. And that is, although you may start out in more of a caregiving role as a woman, say, for instance, that doesn't obviate your becoming an entrepreneur, getting more education, doing whatever at the appropriate time, or turning it around. And right. That is, you have a specific kind of career where you needed that education right off the bat. Could be a lawyer, engineer, whatever, let alone a doctor. And then you have a chance to kind of do a little catch me up later on. But I still think you're looking at the clock.
That's true. Yes.
Well, you have to. You have to. You look at this window of opportunity to be able to have it all, as right. It were. And what do you tell people about freezing eggs?
Yeah. There's so much more conversation about it than there was when I was in my 30s. So I will ask them if they've thought about it. If I know a client wants to be a mother, then I'll say, have you considered egg freezing? Do you know anything about it? More and more women are having that first conversation at an annual appointment with their OB/GYN, which is new to me that I'm hearing that more commonly. And sometimes they're really caught off guard. Like, why would you ask me that? And it hurts. And although I'm glad that conversation's happening. So I'll sort of ask, have you thought about it? Do you know any friends who've done it? To see just what the general feelings are. Now, some women will say, yes, I have friends that have done it. I've looked into it. Some feel very hurt by even the conversation or have an enormous
Why would they be hurt?
That I think there's often a belief that it means they've given up. That if they're going down the path of egg freezing or learning about it, then it's over. I won't find a partner. That means I'm going to be alone forever. So this is like a desperate thing to do.
Okay. I see.
Yeah.
So interesting. And do you find there's a growing number of people interested in this, or is
yes.
it sort of leveled off?
Oh, yes. I think more and more women are interested in it. More and more companies are paying for it. I mean, there's a huge financial cost or burden to it. So it sort of depends on, are you in a place where you are okay with paying for that if your employer doesn't? You know, can you? Or many people have family that are willing to help, or they are looking at their future self at 75 and they're thinking, if I have to put it on a credit card, I don't care. I won't regret that. So yes, I do.
Because it means having a child at some point.
Maybe. And it's not a guarantee. But yeah.
Understood.
Yeah.
Understood. So you said in this New York Times article, you know, in this one section, when urgency leads to bad decision-making.
Right.
You said, I see two ends of the spectrum. I see people panicking or having almost a fairy tale mindset. Like, if it's meant to be, I will find my person. Tell us about those people.
Right. So yeah, some people are very realistic and like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to freeze my eggs and, you know, go down this path. I think other people may have more of a magical notion about a soulmate or partnership, and to go down this route of egg freezing is to tarnish that, the romance of it, the soulmate. So they would prefer not to think about it because that sort of burst the bubble of kind of the Hallmark movie. This, we're going to have a meet cute and then it's all going to work out.
That also speaks to me about you don't understand how relationships work.
Right.
Relationships are more work than any kind of work I did for an MD or you did for a PhD. Relationships are moment by moment, day by day propositions where you're constantly challenged, and you've got to be incredibly realistic and understand that maybe one person is going to be really in a rough spot for a while, then it switches over and the tables turn and boom, it's the other person. And, you know, relationship, you've got to have a really strong bond, an incredibly powerful bond. And the glue that keeps everything together is communication. So if you're looking for some, you know, Mr. Wonderful out there who you think is going to be like almost perfect, no, that's really not the way it works. What else do you counsel people about this fairy tale, you know, kind of mindset?
Yeah. I mean, maybe you will meet your, maybe you will have your fairy tale, but if you're 38 and when you meet them, it's going to be a lot more challenging to conceive. It could be, I mean, it could be. And so you might just want to have the eggs, the younger eggs there for a little bit more insurance. So that's one thing. But yeah, I would probably want to explore those romantic notions of the soulmate. We know that people who have this soulmate myth actually are more unsatisfied in relationships and marriage because of this.
Why?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I think because the theory is that they believe that, okay, we're meant to be, so everything will be perfect and we will not have conflict. Then they get into a relationship and there's conflict and there's just this dissonance of, it's not supposed to be this way. When you talk about this idea that relationships are work, they're negotiating, they're compromise, that more realistic idea of relationships, it leads to greater satisfaction.
Interesting. Yeah. Once you enter your 30s, there's just so much pressure. many people around you, your friends, whatever else, are hooking up, basically partnering, whether they marry or not, or but they've got someone by their side and they may start having kids and whatever, going to baby showers and you're going maybe to a wedding or this and that. And then you sit there and you're kind of like, you know, yeah. And that PhD that you just got or the MD right. you just got is looking kind of hollow right about now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough because you're trying to weigh everything and it's hard to prioritize. So are psychologists like you becoming more of a thing, meaning that trying to help women who are navigating these really troubling waters, because are they using you as a like a coach?
Yeah, I mean, I hope we are. I hope we're becoming more of a thing. That's one reason I created the course is the course that I wish I had in my 30s. And yeah. Also, people can take the course and they don't have to go to therapy with me. So if they want to use that as a starting point, as a sort of self-help, that's an option. Although I do think it's really helpful to discuss a lot of these questions and feelings with a therapist. But yeah, I would imagine there are more and more therapists and coaches helping women in this space. I don't know that there's a whole lot in this particular specialty, but I imagine that will continue to grow. One thing you mentioned that really hit me was just the pain of a woman going to a baby shower or seeing another friend getting engaged and how lonely it is to feel left behind. Even having to make big fertility decisions, like to go through egg freezing by yourself, can be very lonely and painful.
Yeah, I see us all in these generational challenges where, you know, you're looking at the Gen Alphas, the Zs, and then you're dealing with the millennials.
Yes.
And they're trying to figure this out as they're also navigating the really tough waters of, I'm supposed to be succeeding. And as a woman, you know, they want you to travel a lot and get going and be at all those meetings early in the morning and blah, blah, blah. How do you have a personal life when you're under the gun to perform and do well and you know you can? It's just, how do you do that when you've got all of these fairly profound challenges out there?
Right.
I was just at a conference speaking, and a young physician came up to me. She was almost in tears. Mm-hmm. And I said, wow, what's up with you? And we went to a quiet place. And she said, you know, gotta say, I'm a physician. I'm a mother of two children and my husband. And I'm exhausted. And at the same time, I'm also now in my 40s. So I'm going through perimenopause. Really tough sleep and the rest of it. And by the way, I'm also getting an MBA. I'm studying. So I have all this going on. And she looked at me with tears in her eyes. She says, there's nobody out there who helps explain how you do this. And yet I know I have to do it now while my brain's still fresh and while I'm young enough to be able to do what requires a lot of energy, whether it's the training or the professional work or however, one way or the other. And so honestly, how do you do that? We want to have it all. Can you have it all?
I think that's a myth. I don't think we want to have it all. I mean, yes, you can. And there's a higher risk of burnout if you want to have it all. So I think that's where I would go back to the values and find out what's most important. The top 2 to 3 things that are most important, and then the rest, you know, maybe if you have the capacity and the mental space and the energy for it, add them in, but they can always fall back away.
People need some help to guide them through all of this. I know that I didn't have any help. I was just sort of making things up as I went along, but I'm really good at that. But the grand majority of people need a little help. Tell them where they can learn more about your work.
Sure. So I have my course, which is called Should I Freeze My Eggs or Download Tinder? It's on my coaching website, which is modernloveco.com. You can find me on Instagram at Dr. Lori Husband. And then I have a private practice where I do therapy, which is just drlorihusband.com. Yeah, I'd love to help anyone. And I provide also education and content on my Instagram.
That's fantastic. It's just good to know that there are resources out there. You know, are we walking away from this, you know, with like a boatload of solutions? I think that what we've done is we've talked it out a bit and just sort of laid it on the table so that everyone can realistically know that this is a super challenging time for women. And what I would ask young women to do, when I say young, I mean people who are, you know, in their early 20s, mid-20s, to start thinking ahead.
Yes.
Think ahead. Forget 75. You know, how about we just think about 25? And instead of just sort of worrying about where you're going to get the next purse or whether or not whatever's going on in your life, think for a second, right? You need to put some work into also finding a partner.
Right.
You know, college is obviously a great place. Graduate school or professional school is another one, because why? You're obviously sharing the same kind of work, and that's one place to do it. Or look at all your hobbies, look at all your cool things in your life that you like to do, and maybe you're going to, because, you know, people were never meant to be alone.
No.
Loneliness is just, it's worse than smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. It's absolutely true. Start thinking about it a little bit earlier. And for your little happy campers who are in your 30s, don't be desperate. I know how easy it is to fall into that rabbit hole. Instead, lay back a little bit and just be a tad chill. Meditate and pray and put yourself out there. I think a lot of you think that someone's going to fall in your lap or something. No. Did you work hard to get to where you are today in your professional life and your career? Yeah, you didn't wait for it to fall in your lap. Well, the same thing happens with relationships. Put yourself out there. You never, ever know what might happen, but you won't know until you actually do that. So you gotta, girlfriends, work it. Work it. You know, put yourself out. Say yes. Yeah, I'll go over there. I'll go here. I'll go there. Don't be sitting home all the time, because people, you know, you're robbing people of the opportunity to meet your glorious self. Right?
Love it.
So
yes.
That's
yes,
the way yes. I like to look at it, to say the least. All right. We have had a fabulous time talking to Dr. Lori Husband, and she recently launched a new course called Should I Freeze My Eggs or Download Tinder? Run on over to her website, modernloveco.com, and her Instagram at Dr. Lori. That's L-O-R-I Husband. I love that last name.
Thank
Somehow
you.
This is all coming together with that
yes.
last name. Mm-hmm. Lori, thank you so much for being on her podcast.
Thank you for having me. I loved our conversation.
Wonderful. And I want to also thank my sponsor, Solaray Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs Rooted in Nature, and the new Her Life Stages products. Scope it all out at solaray.com. And take a moment now to leave us a review, because we love to hear from you. This has been a production of Podcast Health. And remember, your time in this world may be limited, but the things you can do with that time are not. So get on out there and put yourself out there. Come on now, seize the day. Thanks for listening, everyone.